The wonderful Carolea Suite Opus 11 from Sibelius and the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra in performance with Kazuyoshi Akiyama. You're with the New Classical FM. My name is Mark Wigmore.
The Oasis Look at the Arts is brought to you by Kerner Hall, one of the world's great concert halls, featuring the best in classical, jazz, world, and roots music. For more information, visit rcmusic.com/performance.
Box 4901 is a new work from Governor General's Award-nominated writer and now playwright and actor Brian Francis, which will premiere at Buddies in Bad Times Theater this week. He will star, and performances begin on Thursday. In 1992, the novelist placed a personals ad in the newspaper. In total, he received 25 responses, but there were 13 letters he never responded to. Now, at a much different stage in life, Brian has written replies to those letters. Box 4901 is a hilarious, strange, sweet, and awkward look at how gay men used to find one another. The technology has changed in modern times, but of course, the yearning for connection continues. Box 4901 has already seen two sold-out workshop productions, and now we'll have a world premiere featuring a stellar 14-person ensemble cast. Brian Francis's most recent novel is Break in Case of Emergency, which was a finalist for the 2019 Governor General's Literary Awards. His previous novel, Natural Order, was selected by the Toronto Star, Kobo, and the Georgia Strait as Best Book of 2011. His first novel, Fruit, was a 2009 Canada Reads finalist. Joining me in studio is the man behind this world premiere. His name is Brian Francis. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Very good to have you here. You're going through a bit of an artistic transformation here, a world of books, and now onto stage.
I was going to say, with your intro, referring to me as an actor, I mean, that's a first for me. I don't think anyone's ever called me that before, so thank you for that.
It's happening.
It's happening, whether I want it to or not.
And it's feeling all right? Everything, the process is coming along?
Yeah. When you're a writer, you're sort of used to reading in front of people, certainly like when, you know, you do book tours.
Sure.
And you go out and you read. This is, it's the same in the sense that I'm sort of behind a podium and I'm reading letters, but it's such a different experience. I remember the first time that we did the summer work show, and you can rehearse and rehearse and rehearse, but basically you're rehearsing to like five people who are all sitting there, and they're the director and the producer or whoever might happen to be in the audience.
I know this feeling, yeah.
And that moment when you, I just always remember that moment when the stage door was about to open and I knew that there was a full house, and I just, you don't have the visuals, you don't have the understanding of what that feels like. And I think it's really hard to describe that feeling going out on the stage and knowing that it is full steam ahead. Like, you cannot kind of say, sorry, can we start that over again, or can we go back and try this again because I screwed up my lines. It's really full force.
I've seen it done, but I don't recommend it necessarily.
Oh, it's this weird kind of feeling of like fear and anxiety, but also like adrenaline rush. It's just a weird kind of mixture of so many different emotions.
All getting started on Thursday. And 28 years ago, you placed personal ads. Tell us about that time.
Well, it was a couple years ago. No, it was 28 years ago. When I think about 1992, it pains me to think that that was almost 30 years ago.
Oh, I
can't.
Know.
My mind cannot wrap around that. I think it's just my generation.
I can remember it as well.
Yeah, it just seems like it was just like a couple years ago. And when you start doing the math, it's quite sobering. But yeah, I was 21 at the time. I was closeted, and I was just at a stage in my life where I was ready to just kind of come out, and not come out like in a gangbusters kind of way, because I don't think a lot of people do that. It's more just that you have to sort of feel comfortable, start to feel comfortable with who you are.
Right.
And, you know, people talk about sort of coming out of the closet, like these doors just kind of are thrown wide open and you come sort of marching out, you know, wearing a band leader's uniform or whatever the case is. And I never had a band leader's uniform. So, but, and the closet doors never kind of came screeching out either for me.
And everybody has their own way of figuring out how to do this, right?
I think it's a personal thing for so many people, and you will always have people talking in personal ways about their own coming out stories. But it's something where you have to, it really for me anyway, was step by step. And so this personal ad was sort of a step for me to connect with people, because I'd never allowed myself to connect with other gay people because I was always keeping them at arm's distance because I wasn't ready to accept it for myself.
30 years is a long time in the respect of what we see.
happening today. And so you had a much different experience.
Yeah.
And tell me what happened after you placed those ads.
Well, what happens when you place the ad is you get responses to the ads. And so certainly in today's age, there's much more sort of that instant gratification of swiping,
sure,
you know,
is.
Whatever. And back,
I don't know anything about it. It all just looks like it's very scary to me at this point.
Yeah. But it's one of those, you would place the ad and then people would write letters and you would pick up the letters and, you know, at the post office box. And you would read them and you would decide if you wanted to reply to the person or not.
And 13 of those you never did reply.
Yeah,
to.
For whatever reason. I mean, listen, when I was 21, I had a lot of...
A lot of letter writing, too.
It is a lot of letter writing. And I think I was a lot quicker to dismiss people when I was 21 than I certainly am now at my age of 49.
Of
you know,
course.
Like it's one of those things where I think I was very... quick to make assumptions about people's age, people's how they presented themselves. And I think as I've gotten older, I've certainly lost a lot of that, maybe that bravado that comes when you're 21 years old, and certainly feeling a lot of the judgment that I had against people coming back to sort of bite me in the butt, you know, that my prejudices against age and who was too old, you know, and who was out of the realm. There's one of the letters, you know, I dismissed because the person was 34. And I was just like, I would kill to be 34.
It's a baby now, as far as I'm concerned.
I would love to be 34 again. So it's also me kind of coming to terms with my prejudices that I had against other people as well.
And how are we watching this unfold on stage? You've got this cast of 14. You're there. What are we sort of going to be witnessing?
So it's sort of the actors, the cast, sort of are, if you will, physical embodiments of the letters that and it's very sort of a... What's been interesting about this process is that as primarily a fiction writer, most of your words tend to live on the page. And it's very sort of a solitary experience. Writing is in a lot of ways, and also reading is. Theater is different because it's this community. It's like this crowd experience. And also the director, co-creator Rob Kempson, had a way of sort of visualizing a lot of the wording and the language. And that has made a huge difference in terms of how I see my own language and my own words. So what they do is the letters, if you will, quote unquote, will come out, the cast, and a super talented cast as well, will come out and they'll sort of visually represent these letters through various movements and through voicing them. And then it's my response, but it's my response to these letters 28 years later. So it's me responding as a 49-year-old man, but also taking into account who I was at 21 years old as well. So it's kind of like the letters act as a bit of a springboard for me to reflect on my own life, where I've kind of come from, but hopefully opening the door a little wide, because I didn't want to make this just about me who wants to come and watch a show.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, this is a process that we all probably have thought about, maybe just an inkling of it at some point in our lives. How would we have treated that person now, or how would we have responded to a question now? And we ask these big questions of ourselves, and you're actually exercising it on stage, which I love. It must be just... thrilling and special to see this all coming together. This is this personal exploration that you get to celebrate with Toronto.
I do. I mean, yeah. In some ways, I can't think about it too much because then I get a little bit nervous thinking about it because it is, you know,
You've done it a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's fiction. You know, I'm used to writing fiction. So you sort of hide behind, you know, the mask of quote unquote fiction, even though I think there's always truth about any writer's life in fiction.
Yeah.
But this is not being presented as fiction. And so it's a little bit more, let's just say, a little bit more real.
BuddiesInBadTimes.com is the spot to visit for tickets. Performances of Box 4901 begin on Thursday. Opening night is Friday. Performances continue through March 8th, 2:30 matinees on Saturday and Sunday and the following weekend as well. Evening shows begin at 8 p.m. And Brian Francis, really special to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you.
For dropping in, and good luck with this debut. And you're with the Oasis here on the New Classical FM.